Hey, grandkids, we have started with a bang. I neglected to inform Chris that we were not recording yet. But you know what? The topic remains the same. We didn't get too far down that road. We are both ready to skip Raw today, as far as the topic goes.
I'll be completely honest. I already read the spoilers yesterday. I chose not to even watch the first hour because I have two other shows that I do enjoy that we're better online later. But I'm like, you know what? No, I can miss this first hour of this damn show. I absolutely can, and I may actually start missing the first. And I'll be brutally honest. I'm a bad wrestling analyst, but I might start missing the first hour of Raw, at least until the end of the current TV season, regular TV season.
Oh, man. It is, well, it was funny because of two things. Jeremy said he didn't watch much, but then he watched it when he went home for lunch. And that about describes it. Like, I was so worried, I started really late to the Almost Live and definitely half-assed review of Raw. So I was like, oh crap, how am I going to catch up? And then it was like, oh, they're in London. And that was just like, this is going to be quick. And it was. I started sometime after 10 p.m. I was done by 12 because they pre-tape a lot of stuff. And, well, I don't usually fast-forward entrances, but when you fast-forward entrances, that saves a whole lot of time, too.
It indeed does. it's just...
Because I guess I feel like when I'm doing that column, that the announcers have some type of duty to, you know, set up the upcoming match. So I try to watch the entrances.
Not this announced crew. Oh my god, you know what? Since we're going to try to avoid talking about Raw as much as possible, I want to do... a little bit of an aside here. That announced crew, both the Cole, Lawler, and JBL, absolutely ruined Sting versus Triple H, like at WrestleMania. Like I had seen, you know, it getting low marks online. It was like one of the most fun things I've ever seen live in person. But I'm like, they ruined that match. I understand why Dave Meltzer only gave it 2 stars in the end. They really ruined that match.
I guess maybe I've just shut them off at this point. I don't know how else to describe them. It's just like the only time I pay attention to them is when they have no interest in the match because they're pretty much speaking my mind too. Like they get saddled with these matches that don't mean anything. And it's not their fault that they've got to call these shitty matches because the writers can't come up with a decent plot line.
Right, I do understand that, but oh man, when Vince is in their ear, he wants them to pound certain points into the ground. Oh, there's nothing worse than that. And when you watch back the Sting Triple H match, of course, you know, while the live crowd is going crazy for this historic moment of Sting in a WWE ring, they are on commentary just burying WCW, just praising Triple H to the hilt. It's just like, this is not the story that's going on in this building right now.
I did notice that. I guess it must not have bothered me as much as it did other people. Because it didn't, I didn't really have that much of a, I was like, oh, whatever. Like, I was like, the WWE is just such a bunch of babies. That's all I thought about that. It's just like, really? This is what you need to do? Like, you won. Like, we get it. You won. That's just move on along. Like, everyone was past your victory. How long did Sting hold out? 14 years or whatever they were claiming?
Yep.
Years.
They own the company. Hell, they own Sting at this point, and yet they still can't get past it. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Ted Turner forgot about that 14 years ago.
Right. McMahon hasn't.
Yeah, McMahon has not. At all.
One thing I guess we do wish that Vince would have forgotten was to, I had something going on. I was going to make a joke about, wish he forgot to leave his writing staff in Stamford, Connecticut, instead of bringing them with him to London. Oh, that was terrible. Go on, please.
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, I guess that's why I was talking about the general course of Raw. Because, you know, Jeremy, while not even listening to our show, pretty much had the same opinion. He's like, this is just like it was right before WrestleMania. Like, WrestleMania was the anomaly. I was like, yeah, we kind of covered that last week.
Yeah, this is a creative team that cannot write weekly. They can't write weekly TV. And they damn sure can't write 5 hours of weekly TV.
Right.
The overall WWE team, you know, everyone from Vince to the agents to the production people, they know they can still do the big show. Not the big show, but they can still put on the big event. They can still put on the big event. And, you know,
right.
Most of the monthly pay-per-views in the last year have been good to great. And I don't have any Wears Extreme Rules either. I mean, it's getting to the point where you're better off as a wrestling fan not watching Raw, not watching SmackDown, getting the network, watching NXT, watching this week in WWE just to catch up on everything, and then watching the pay-per-views. You'd be a much happier wrestling fan that way, I think.
Yeah, I buzz through SmackDown just on a weekly basis. That's another one where they just replay a lot of stuff from Raw. And there's just a couple of new things in between that you have to watch. Like, SmackDown is such a breeze for me. But Raw is still just a process.
Yeah, I mean, I guess SmackDown's easy to watch, but it's just so pointless most weeks. And it's just, I can completely skip it. You know what, if I've got nothing better to do, sometimes SmackDown will stay on my DVR until Monday night at 11:06 p.m. And it's like, then at that point, there's no point to actually watching it. Because there's no feeling of a rush to watch it. If I find the time between Thursday and Monday to watch it, most times I can breeze right through it, find two or three good matches. SmackDown's problem is the overall pointlessness of it. Which can lead us to our next aside.
Sure. Yeah, there evidently were some fans in London there. I believe it. They're still taping in London, right? Yeah. decided to. They said some knuckleheads thought it would be. It's an article from SB Nation. And it says the WWE taped SmackDown in London on Tuesday, and some knuckleheads thought it would be awesome to go into the ring and perform rock bottoms on each other.
That's absolutely ridiculous. And wow, what a.
And it looks that the video was already removed. But you cannot remove the old Instagram picture.
and then there will be other videos.
And it appears as if there's six gentlemen in the ring. because Daniel Bryan and John Cena are looking on, and Cesaro and Tyson Kidd are on the other side of the ring.
Are you sure that's Cena and Bryan?
It's definitely Daniel Bryan. It looks like John Cena's wristbands and jorts.
Really? Let me look at the photo right now. I know, this is scintillating radio here.
Yeah, well, and it looks as if, they're not trying to do anything to the wrestlers, and the wrestlers aren't trying to do anything to them. It just looks like this odd thing is happening. Like, I don't know, I don't really see security there yet, unless two of the guys in black are security. Oh, and is that the referee, actually? Now that I look at it, is that Mike Chioda taking somebody down?
Yeah, it looks like that. Okay, now I definitely see Cena and Bryan, yes. It looks like there's two... I think the two guys... there's maybe three guys, and then Kyoto's got one. It looks like maybe plainclothes security has others.
Yeah, because they both look like... The guys in the black shirts look like they're in matching outfits.
Yeah, that looks like... I would say that's plainclothes security.
So wow. It's only three guys. Okay. It really is just some. It's a trio of knuckleheads.
Yep. That's absolutely what it looks like.
So, okay. This has become... I guess when I first read that, for some reason I was thinking more people. That's why when I first looked at it, I thought there were six of them in the ring. But now after looking at it properly... That is certainly not the case. It only looks like there's three of them in the ring. So, yeah, it's a stupid thing to do. I've never understood that whole idea at all of rushing the field. I just don't think the reward is worth it. Being arrested and being banned from that particular sport for however long. It doesn't seem worth what no fame is going to come your way.
Yeah, like, no.
I don't even remember the kid that got tased at the Philadelphia Phillies game. I remember the action, but I mean, I don't remember the guy's name, so I don't know. Whatever, you might get like a moment of fame for something like that. But these knuckleheads aren't going to get anything.
Yeah, no. I don't understand the thought process here. I don't know how much they had to drink or anything like that. But what a stupid thing to do. I mean, at least they didn't. At least they didn't attack the wrestlers.
Yeah.
I mean.
And there's crowd participation, and this is taking it a little too far. that was just useless. Trying to watch NXT at the same time of doing this was useless, so I just decided to shut it off.
It's all right.
Well, it looked like I did get to watch, at least see the setup there. Did they do that was all the semifinals and the finals of the tournament to get into the Andre the Giant Battle Royal?
Yes, that's all it was. It's a good show, three very good matches. Actually, what I probably should have told you, to skip all the way to the end so you can watch the video they put together about Journey to WrestleMania. I thought that was just one of the best produced things they've ever done. I mean, and just thinking about what their production department has done, it was amazing. It made just him and this battle royal just seem like the biggest thing in the world.
Well,
it really did.
Well, and that was kind of funny, because that was a bit of one of your subtopics that you wanted to talk about, was the difference between NXT and WWE, and if they're separate brands. And there's just such a different vibe to NXT. I don't know how you could call it anything else.
Yeah,
like,
this
is what they never achieved with Raw versus SmackDown.
Yeah, it is absolutely its own brand, its own thing, and I guess the question about it is where is it going? And particularly the question is, where is the top talent from NXT today going? How long are they going to want to keep them in NXT to keep this brand alive? And what kind of, you know, and essentially, you know, what kind of money can they be making doing just NXT? That I think is a question here of what the future for NXT is. I mean, what is NXT without Sami Zayn? What is NXT without Finn Balor? What is NXT without, you know, any number of these guys? Granted, Neville has made his way up, but I also don't know if he'll never appear in NXT again either. It's very interesting. It'll be very interesting to see.
Yeah, well, he certainly wouldn't be the first person to take the step back. I mean, I know that I haven't watched, but Tyson Kidd was there for quite a while. I mean, considering that he somewhat had a regular-ish spot for a while there with Davey Boy Smith's son. And then really even on his own, when they were still doing some... feel like they're still doing some cruiserweight stuff. And then he had to, well, he got injured and really he had to work his way back to the main roster through NXT.
Right, yeah.
And, Adam Rose's made reappearances down there. It looks like, I saw a picture from Emma and she certainly looked different and acted different this week on the in the Battle Royal.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they've been repackaging her because I haven't seen that much recently.
Yeah, they're definitely repackaging her, and that is definitely a thing. Definitely a great use of NXT taking underutilized or poorly utilized, you know, talent on the main roster, and you know. And repackaging them with us, multiple month run on NXT. That's a great use of NXT. The thing I think that you still can never lose sight on is that while NXT can be its own brand, it can be its own, you know, what they're looking for, boutique, indie promotion that's meant to, in some ways, I guess, put Ring of Honor out of business. You can't lose sight on the fact that, this talent does deserve to be seen by the most amount of people possible. The best of them, and the key to NXT is going to be cycling people from the indies or from, wherever they, whenever Jerry Briscoe gets his amateur wrestlers, he tours the world on WWE's dime.
Well, did you see that they had introduced a new class of NXT stars? It was
I definitely saw that. Yeah, and including one of them is Uha Nation, who was one of the top indie standouts of the last couple of years. So once again, I think the key will be that cycling talent in, from the indies or wherever they're going to get them into NXT, and then cycling the talent out of NXT and into the main roster in spots that and have plans for them and put them in spots to succeed.
That came to one of those interesting things, like, just because it has more exposure now, I know that I still thought that they could change up their gimmicks some, but I feel like at this juncture there's been enough of an acknowledgement on the main roster that it's kind of tough to do that now.
Right, and really they shouldn't be changing up gimmicks from NXT, because that's at that point, what is the purpose of NXT as a developmental system? You know, having guys go through NXT, and then as they're joining the main roster, then tell them to change everything that they've learned about themselves, everything that they've learned in NXT. I think that's kind of silly. So you should definitely give someone a gimmick in NXT and have them, you know, carry it through to the main roster as they refined it.
Yeah, and I think, well, and this is something that we could talk about too, is the fact that they're doing Tough Enough again, which was announced last week. And, you know, that will be kind of interesting, simply because that should be a feeder for NXT. And it might help, I guess I'm not sure how much those previous winners had exposure, but it's definitely going to be a different kind of exposure with NXT around. And it's probably better than them hopping right onto the main roster like they were doing previously, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but at the same time, it's one of those situations where what does the winner really get then? Because they're probably going to sign more than one person to developmental contracts. I mean, other than the winner maybe getting a guarantee of more money than the average person, yeah, just joining you know the performance center.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much going to be it. And I don't know if you know, at least as far as the winner goes, that can't be all that bad. Because it still seems like they're not being paid a whole boat ton of money. Well, I guess I haven't really heard anything about the NXT guys, but I mean, they're signed, so they've at least got to have some decent contracts, I would imagine.
I mean, that's the thing. A lot of guys like Zayn and Owens, you know, Jericho and Steen, are very likely making less money than they were as, you know, as highly in demand guys on the independent circuit. If the trade-off was going from NXT to WWE to make their real money. Now, I mean, that's what's going to be interesting about, you know, NXT going on the road and NXT being merchandised is how much the talent will be making. You know, off of the royalties and their piece of the pie, that will be a very, very interesting thing.
Right.
Because who knows? Who's to say that WWE can't play the NCAA card that they're just students that they get paid. They're getting paid to learn. They're already getting paid. Paying whatever we're paying them, so we don't need to give them any of this extra money. I don't think that's what's happening, but it'll be something to watch, especially since, you know, that show they did in San Jose, that did a $200,000, you know, gross, so...
Oh.
You know, and I'm pretty sure the show didn't, all expenses of the show, you know, non-talent, you know, the show didn't cost $200,000, so... How much, how much of the gross are they going to get?
Yeah, I guess it'd be interesting to go to your average Raw or whatnot. I don't know how much merchandise they'd have for NXT there.
They're rolling it out. I mean, I have personally supported my favorite NXT superstars by getting Sasha Banks and Bayley t-shirts. Yes, I have.
Well, I know that they'd be at WrestleMania, and really, I would imagine that since I have Money in the Bank coming here to the fine city of Columbus, Ohio, you know, I would imagine that it's someplace like a pay-per-view you would bring that kind of stuff. So I was wondering if maybe on your average SmackDown tour, if they'd bring that stuff, because it really is Raw that they kind of push it more, but I don't feel like they've pushed it all that much. Aside from mentioning that Neville was from there, I don't feel like they've really pushed it as much recently as they have in the past.
Right. Actually, that brings up another one of our it's going to be an aside. Actually, there was an interesting thing on the other day that apparently at one of the house shows, you know how on the house shows overseas, they have the mixed, the separate tours.
Uh-huh.
Well, apparently they don't sell much merchandise of the guys on one tour on the other tour. Unless, of course, that person is John Cena. So someone tweeted at Randy Orton asking them, just tagged him in the tweet about, well, I took my son to the event in wherever, and he really wanted a Randy Orton shirt, and there wasn't one. And Randy Orton actually responded like, well, actually that's a great question. Crap. And that's why we love him.
Yeah, he seems to be a fairly straightforward kind of guy. So, I mean, that is a good question. So, I don't think mine is completely unfounded. You can't... I would imagine that they'd have them at the NXT exclusive events, like, well, the one that was here but sold out so quickly that I didn't get tickets.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm absolutely sure. But right now, they're still... They haven't started the big NXT touring of larger buildings. So they're basically doing their regular NXT shows in front of a few hundred people at most in Florida, you know, gyms and armories.
Oh, right.
So we'll have to see when they do the full house show tour, whatever that's going to be. Apparently, I heard a few weeks ago that they have holds on, you know, 2,000 to 5,000 seat buildings throughout the U.S. for a summer tour, a spring summer tour, essentially. But nothing has been officially announced yet.
Gotcha. Yeah. Just from the scale of what seems to have sold here in Columbus and in San Jose, there, it seems like they'd have a market for something that size. And ROH goes to a place that's probably a little bit bigger than where NXT went here. And even TNA played the Ice House, which is attached to Nationwide Arena, which I think fits about 3,500 as opposed to the max of about 2,500.
I don't think they got that much, though.
Oh, yeah, they didn't. I doubt TNA got that much, and I know that Ring of Honor doesn't.
No, but...
But I'm just saying that there are other venues, just, and I mean, I'm sure it's the case just about anywhere, but, anywhere that the WWE travels to, there are probably venues small enough to support NXT, but still have a little bit bigger of a crowd than they have these first couple of times.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think that, they can obviously definitely go to major, wrestling stronghold, and then, major cities in the Northeast, the Midwest, maybe Southwest a little bit. I'm not sure about Texas, but you probably could do something in Texas. They've got you can follow, obviously they did what they did during Arnold weekend. They did what they did in San Jose during WrestleMania weekend. So, if you can find other events, conventions and things of that sort to, piggyback on and have a show, at night in the general vicinity, they have a relation. At this point, I'm not sure why they've never tried to exploit their relationship with Wizard World more, you know, for something like that.
Right. Yeah, it would make sense to piggyback events. I mean, people do it to them all the time. And they love corporate, and the WWE loves corporate tie-ins. So, why not tag team with somebody else to, you know, bring you more coverage for that that particular brand? Because
absolutely,
you know, it's they've had a couple of test markets now, and it's done well.
Yeah, and they could easily do well. I know. Obviously, one of the arenas they have a hold on is in Philadelphia, the old ECW arena. I'm sure they could do great there. I'm sure they could, I'm sure they could go to Hammerstein in New York and various other buildings like that, and do really well.
Right, and then it does really come down to your question there of what do they do and how do they replace these people, because, some of these guys don't seem like they have a whole lot of experience. I would maybe throw Baron Corbin in that pile, Bull Dempsey. Who are the tag team champions right now?
Ooh, Blake and Murphy.
Blake and Murphy. You know, they have a lot of guys that are fairly inexperienced down there. I just wonder how much different of a vibe, because you've rattled off kind of the big names. I mean, they've brought in some big names in Hideo Itami and Finn Balor and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I don't know who else, that they can bring in that kind of has that star power right away.
Yeah,
that's another interesting aspect. Like, I do feel like they need to have some type of turnover happen. But
yeah, they took a lot of the top indie talent. I mean, otherwise, I mean, I guess maybe the next big quote-unquote, indie guy to go could probably be Adam Cole. They flirted with the Briscoes for years. But, of course, Jay, it's usually Jay who sticks his foot in his mouth somehow. I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah, and I still just believe that they don't let that gimmick play right. They end up becoming a modern day Bushwhackers in the WWE instead of a really fun redneck team.
Yeah, I could see their gimmick not playing, but I'm just trying to rattle off the names of the name indie talent that's out there nowadays. I mean, I know that there's some talent in Ring of Honor and Gabe Sapolsky's troop, Evolve troop. They've got some decent guys. And
But
it has taken most of the premier indie talent of the last decade already.
Yeah, I would love to see Johnny Gargano of Prime Wrestling PWO fame. I always thought he was really talented. He is a smaller guy, which I know would probably hurt on the main roster, but with their current crop of people in NXT, I think he'd fit right in. But I honestly don't watch enough of that stuff to really have any type of real. And I mean, I haven't seen that guy wrestle in like 3 or 4 years now at this juncture. So I don't know if he's improved. He seems to be out there. I still follow him. But, he hasn't made it big somewhere else, I feel like. Not Dragon Gate.
The whole Dragon Gate USA versus Evolve thing is just such a mess. I mean, Gabe Sapolsky hasn't been able to get, Japanese talent in for any of his shows, in well over a year. So there are definitely some issues there. I think Sapolsky's just promoting, pretty much just basically promoting under the Evolve banner at this point.
Yeah, and I think he's still there.
He's loyal to Sapolsky, so he doesn't.
You know, I can't believe that he hasn't maybe had a shot at ROH, which I think would be a step up. Or he's chosen not to take it if they've offered it to him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if he's loyal to Sapolsky, I guess, and I think he's. I think he had a developmental offer, but then he didn't take it because it was for less money than he was making on the indie scene at the time, really.
Right. And I'm sure he's still doing pretty decent for himself.
Yeah, I mean, and he's still young, so I'm sure he'll, you know, WWE is still in his, you know, is still very well in his future, and especially when, you know, they've got NXT where they've got right now, and they are going to need to, you know, replenish the top talent. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, obviously, if they're going to go on tour this summer for NXT, no one's going up. None of the big-name NXT people are going to go up, or at least go up full-time.
Right.
So, you know, because they'll need them all. Everyone who's been established as, you know, the top NXT stars are going to be on these shows, you know, across the nation through the summer. So, I mean, which is fine. I think that it would be good for them to get this experience, wrestle in front of more crowds, wrestle in front of different crowds. I think that's a good thing. But what happens like after that? That will be the question. You know.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that the main thing should be to bring them up to Raw and SmackDown.
But it
does leave a hole that is going to be hard to dig out of at some point.
Right, yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thing, and, you know, another thing to think about is, with the actual multi-million dollar performance center is, who have they created from the ground up? Who of the wrestlers Jerry Briscoe has traveled all over the world to scout have you know done that great? Who of the football players, the college football players, have done that great? I mean, none of them so far.
Yeah, all the big names there were big names on the indies.
Right. So that will be interesting to see through the years if they actually truly are able to develop talent from the ground up. Because I thought Rusev was actually a talent that was developed from the ground up, but it turns out that, you know, he was actually trained out in California at Rikishi School, so he's background, so which I did not know.
Gotcha. Yeah, I hadn't really paid attention to that. I'm trying to think of where else to go with that one, honestly, because I think we've pretty much covered it.
Yeah, I agree completely. Yeah. Please don't talk about Raw.
Well, I mean, it is bad that I probably should watch more NXT, but I even spent the hour plus watching that stupid TNA when I got back this weekend from all of my travels.
Oh, dude, never choose TNA over over NXT. I'll probably ROH either at this point, but ugh. TNA. Is there anything from that show we can discuss?
Hold on a sec. I need to take a bathroom break here. Well, yeah, I was literally forced to take a restroom break because I did bring up the topic of TNA. And, yeah, I honestly don't know why I still watch it. Just because I don't know why I still find things easier to watch on a TV than on my computer screen. I know that a lot of people have made the transition, and I can do it. I am fully capable of doing this, but I guess the TV still is the top dog to me.
Hmm. You don't have any other any set top device or anything to stream NXT?
No.
Really? How do you watch pay-per-views then?
I just watch them online.
Okay.
On my computer.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Do I have something on my device? I mean, I know that Netflix is on here, but I can't.
What kind of TV do you have then? Because I know they're on Samsung's.
Vizio.
Vizio, yeah, same thing I got. No, they don't do. Yeah, for WWE Network, but I mean, I use an Apple TV, and you can pick one of those up for $69 right now.
Ah, well, you know, I guess it's just it is what it is for me. I just watch it online, and I just should be able to change that thinking. There's nothing holding me back from doing it. I mean, I do it for the pay-per-views, so it's not like I'm incapable of it. I watched 4 hours of WrestleMania and probably had the pregame on for almost the whole time while I made dinner that day.
Right.
So, I mean, I can do it. It's just a matter of kind of a mind-over-matter thing for me.
Gotcha. It's understandable. I definitely was not a. Well, I've never been a fan of, you know, of tethering my TV, my computer to my TV. Although I guess I have done it, and before I got an Apple TV to AirPlay, I actually did tether my iPad to my TV.
Yeah, and I do have a USB cord to be able to do that, but I guess it's one of those things where just by the time I finally get the dogs to lay down and those pay-per-views start, like, I feel like I'm doing something else, so I start watching it on. I start watching it on my on the computer, and then I just never want to hook it up to the TV at that point.
Right, yeah.
I have all kinds of excuses, Chris. All kinds of them.
Oh, don't we all? Don't we all? If a man wants to be lazy, a man can choose to be lazy.
Yeah, I certainly choose to be that on that situation. I have no one to blame but myself.
It's alright.
So yeah, there is nothing worth talking about in TNA. It's bad. I can't believe Destination America thinks that it's good for them. The shows that are on Destination America, like, I understand TNA doing tie-ins with them, but they are so low rent that it doesn't help their look at all. Like, TNA is low rent to start with, and when you team it with, like, Z-grade reality shows like Ghost Asylum, it really does you no favors.
Yeah, no. There is no synergy here. It's a terrible partnership. Did you see the thing of that went around a couple few weeks ago about how Destination America is very happy that Kurt Angle and Taryn Terrell are their champions? Apparently, Bobby Lashley and Gail Kim. Do not reflect the ideals of a Destination America. Ahem.
uh, Boy. Yeah. I did not hear that.
Yeah, that's... It's very true. Now, maybe they didn't mean that.
Right. But, yeah.
That's how it is implied by many.
Oh, boy. Yeah, in that match, that's one of those things where just even people, fans at WWE events now, the This Is Awesome chant, it's just a chant a lot of times now. Like, the match between Bobby Lashley and Kurt Angle was okay, but This Is Awesome is not happening. Didn't happen. It was an okay match.
Yeah. This Is Awesome at this point means very little. I mean, if This Is Awesome chant broke out every 20 minutes at WrestleMania, so you know, at this point, it's just a chant. It's just something people do. It's not even. I don't think it really means much anymore.
Oh boy. I don't know. We really don't have any news. We really could just end this, or I don't know. There had to have been one thing on Raw that was good.
Neville. Neville was excellent. He really, in losing, took advantage of every second of time he had. I mean, the match I don't believe was even over 10 minutes, maybe give or take. It was 8 or 10 minutes, but
yeah, might have been eight to ten range.
Yeah, he took advantage of absolutely every second, and I have nothing but respect for him for that.
Yeah, because he accepted Dolph Ziggler's open challenge, and that's one of those. Jeremy and I were talking about that with Ziggler. Like, he's kind of stuck in no man's land. I didn't realize that when Ziggler was coming to the ring, he said, they're listening to you, meaning the WWE management. And it's just like, dude, they're not. They have not gotten you anywhere. And he isn't anywhere. Like, he... You know, he's above being a jobber, but he's still pretty much a jobber to the stars.
Oh yeah, he is there to be fed to Sheamus at this point. He will not be winning that match. I'm pretty sure about that.
Yep. So it's just like, no, they, you know, they listen if they want to. You know, I guess they saw the, and plus, they would have given you the U.S. title to, hold on, is it the U.S. title or, no, the IC title, to run with instead of Daniel Bryan if they believed in you.
Right, yeah, no, I mean, and Ziggler's just there to set Sheamus up for, essentially, for a run against a Bryan. That's pretty much the story, or seen after he's finished with Rusev, either one, probably.
Right. And that makes perfect sense why they broke off. Because it was more of a Sheamus attack, both Bryan and Ziggler. But they've certainly put the concentration on Ziggler these last few weeks.
Yeah. They've definitely done that so that Bryan can just have the contractually obligated rematch with Bad News Bear and just... You know, beat him and move on.
Right. And at least they're making Barrett look half decent in defeat, but unfortunately he's stuck in much the same territory that Dolph Ziggler is, where it perpetually seems like management likes him, but because he's on TV and he holds points of somewhat prominent prominence? Yeah, I should have said prominence. But he goes nowhere. Like, he's just kind of, again, like, more of a jobber to the stars. Like, why was he the one that... His logic made sense, fighting John Cena, but the logic of having that, having the guy challenging for the IC title losing is not logical.
Yeah, no, no, it really wasn't. Although I did, I didn't mind. I don't mind. Well, that was more about, you know, the location and the atmosphere. And once again, I did not watch that match. I skipped the entire first hour, so I have not seen that match yet. Or maybe never actually see the match in its entirety anyway. But
yeah,
that was about getting Barrett in front of a London crowd and having the crowd cheering. You know, almost the entire crowd, you know, cheering for Barrett to create that atmosphere that does, you know, exist in a John Cena match.
Right. And I don't know. I guess I just don't get it. To me, it just is old. The whole losing in your hometown match. I had forgotten about Paige being out for a movie. That's another thing that Mr. Mays reminded me of, that she's taping some Christmas movie right now. And it's just like, why didn't you just have Naomi win?
Give Paige the win in London, and I guess she's gonna make it back in time for they're gonna, you know, let her, you know, fly in to do one match with Nikki Bella and then leave again, or however this is gonna work out, if it's gonna end up a triple threat match, because, you know, of Naomi's attack, post match attack, and the fact that she's beaten the champion twice, and I'm not really sure if that's something that Jeremy needed to remind you of, because I don't think the news broke before yesterday, actually.
Oh, I thought he had said something to me last week about her being in that movie.
Maybe he did. Maybe that was out there before, and I forgot about that, yeah.
So, I was just like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess they could go with a three-way match there to make things a little more interesting. I just think that I did like Naomi's personality change. She doesn't need to be with the Usos all the time. But also, I thought that her finally getting her just due for being the most athletic and finally, like, putting it all together could be sold as a story so you could keep her a babyface. But now you have her as a heel who has another heel champion if they end up in a one-on-one match.
Right.
And they're devoid of AJ Lee as a babyface now, too. So, I'm not quite sure why you need someone on the heel roster side.
Yeah, I don't completely get it. I don't get any of this. I'm not gonna, you know, play devil's advocate here, because I don't get it at all. If, you know, if they were gonna put Paige in the women's championship match, I don't understand why she wasn't the one, you know, being built up for since WrestleMania instead of Naomi.
Yeah, and that was the other thing that was weird about that whole situation is, yeah, Naomi's been built up the last few weeks, and Paige has just kind of been demoted, which is fine. I mean, there's only so much time they're going to have for the Divas. So anything more than two of them being concentrated on it at a time is amazing.
Right.
So yeah, they concentrated all their time on Naomi. Now they pulled the rug out from under her. And that's one of those ones where I don't care what the excuse is. You don't know what goes on backstage. I don't care. Like, unless she did something, you wouldn't have had the heel turn if you didn't want her back in a position of prominence.
Right, yeah, so
you know, it's just kind of running in circles for no reason, in my opinion.
Absolutely agreed. And you know what? We've just put way more thought into it than they have.
Probably. yeah, no use in just dragging this thing out anymore. Raw was bad. It was in London. A bunch of crazy people. Oh, you know what? That was one thing I opened the column with, and I didn't get the chance to check it yet today to see if that column was actually a joke about the Penguin, or the WWE learning from TNA about their rabid English fans. And it's just like they filled, you know, arenas full of people when they're in England. Like, what do they need to learn from TNA? How to fill larger venues than that? Like, I meant to check on that to see if it was a joke article or not. If it wasn't a joke article, I hope that guy watched Raw on Monday. Like, despite it being boring, that crowd is always bananas. And they get a shit product.
Yeah, it is a bananas crowd, but you know what? It's that. Look at us. Literally, we are awesome crowd. I hate those crowds. I really do. I'm sorry, British people, if you're listening. I do not absolutely hate your people. I just hate your wrestling fans. just there for their own. I guess it's okay. You know, once you buy a ticket, you can do it. You know, do whatever you want in that regard. Ugh, they're just so douchey. I'll just say it.
Well, we are not douchey. So, if you want to find us, at DeFrango11, at Chris Calamita, at Stunt Granny is the main source. Episode 297, coming to close.
Three more to 300. Later.